Multiplication and small groups. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Acts 6:7. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:24 and 25. We've already discussed the importance of relationships in the life of the daily disciple. The gospel of Christ is one of love. And how can we demonstrate our love if we are not in close, committed relationships with others? Small groups are one opportunity we have to form and build a network of love and commitment between the members of Christ's body. That's why small groups are also such a powerful way to spread the good news of Jesus. An important question I think the church needs to ask is whether or not we are going to be a movement of God or merely a monument of God. Do we want to be something alive and growing, or do we want to be as solid and motionless as rock? Multiplication and small groups are ways to really get moving. The early church. If you want to see an example of how this principle of multiplying disciples works out in action, take a look at the account in Acts. Early on in Acts, we get a picture of the growth in the young church and the importance of the fellowship and relationship of the believers. After Pentecost and the filling of the Holy Spirit, the Christians began to meet. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts 2:42 through 47. It is sad, yet evident, how far removed the modern-day church resides from this account. As Acts picks up the story of Christianity after the record of Christ found in the four Gospels, try to imagine how the account might read if somebody attempted to write an Acts about the current state of the church in America. We may find reality a bit discouraging, but Acts challenges us to lifestyle discipleship that should be carried on until the return of Christ. The informal life of the daily disciple. Sometimes when we see that reality falls so short of the ideal, we simply give up and don't rise to the challenge. We may feel too overwhelmed to even make a start. I believe we can model some very simple, practical things that will help us gain the kind of positive influence that will lead to multiplying within Christ's body. I've outlined some of these practical principles in the following list. Faithfulness. Be reliable, someone who can be counted on at all times. The ability to listen. Make sure others have your ear when they need it. You need to take things in rather than speak frequently. Integrity. Be straightforward. Don't allow impure motives to taint your actions. Naturalness. Demonstrate transparency and sincerity. Understanding. Be willing to give the benefit of the doubt. Look for ways to understand rather than criticize. Eternity focused. Relate to others while remembering always that souls matter more than anything. Trustworthiness of speech. Make sure your yes means yes and your no means no. When you say you are going to do something, the listener can take your word to the bank. Keep your promises. Encouragement. Communicate positively rather than focusing on the negative. Be on the lookout for ways to express appreciation towards others. Major in praising people. These eight characteristics of interaction will go a long way toward multiplying your sphere of influence. This form of discipling doesn't necessarily involve a career choice so much as it does a lifestyle, a way of interacting. Through our relationships, we help people follow Christ in different aspects of their lives. You may be helping one person with her prayer life and another with his financial problems and yet another with her marital struggles and so on. Where small groups fit. There are two trends occurring today. One is a continued erosion in the number of committed men and women who fervently seek Christ-likeness for their lives in the context of the local church. The other, seemingly contradictory trend, is an increased interest in small groups within the church. According to recent statistics, the number of small groups and cell groups in the church has more than doubled in the past 8 years. While the increased interest in small group fellowship points possibly to an encouraging future, clearly there is much work to be done. My interest in small groups has heightened over the course of the last several years. As ministries like Promise Keepers continue to challenge men to be involved in small groups, similar ministries for women have emerged, such as Women of Faith, Heritage Keepers, Aspiring Women, and others. Clearly, small group discussion isn't going to die out. When we Christians come back from one of these ministry conferences or something else in our lives that is similarly convicting, probably the very least we can do is ask, "Who can I share with?" Or perhaps we will pray, "Lord, direct me to someone I can share with." Many of us, as we start, don't know what we should do, but God will honor that first step of surrender to His direction. Why a small group? Throughout the history of the church, small groups have been important. Earlier in this section, we took a closer look at the first Christians in the book of Acts, and clearly those young pioneers of the Christian faith took part in what today might be considered small group fellowship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Acts 2:42. As the decades and centuries have passed in the church, those in the body of Christ have frequently flourished in small groups. God can use a small group of committed Christians fully devoted to Him far more than a larger but lukewarm congregation of believers. A small group based on the Bible can do a few key things that will differentiate it from an encounter group or some other psychology-based entity. Share and apply the truth from God's Word. Pray and intercede for one another. And use experiences from the group to develop maturity in Christ. All small groups can grow when they include these three key activities. They can become places that bring intimacy, closeness, honesty, trust, and accountability between brothers and sisters. Ensuring small group success. There are a few things to keep in mind that will go a long way toward ensuring small group success. Small groups need to be led by a leader or leaders who is capable of keeping others focused. Small groups should not be a place for gossip or murmuring. Again, much of the responsibility for directing interactions away from these things falls on small group leaders. Confidentiality is also important. What is said in the group should stay in the group. The exception to this would be if all group participants chose to agree that certain things could be shared outside of the group. Finally, small groups should never pretend to be something they're not. They aren't a substitute for professional counseling, nor are they forums for expert advice on every subject, nor are they replacements for genuine marital communication or the avoidance of all one-on-one conversation, nor are they able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, nor, well, you get the idea. Keep your expectations realistic. Small group progression. Over the course of a 2 or 3 year period, the progression of a small group of Christians meeting together once a week for an hour to an hour and a half could look like this. Commitment to the group's purpose and direction, the development of close, personal relationships, freedom to share problems with confidentiality, a genuine trust and concern for other members of the group, an acknowledgement and evidence of personal spiritual growth, the joy of receiving specific instruction and training through the Word, agreement by group members to hold one another accountable, the ability to evaluate and act upon needed changes through follow-up and loving concern by other brothers or sisters, a hunger to follow Christ's example of servant leadership, and an embracing of the challenge to pass on the disciples' life. The primary reason small groups are so key to growth in Christ, to becoming a true disciple of Jesus, is that they are made up of committed relationships. As we discussed in an earlier section, God never intended us to be cut off from other believers in the body of Christ. What He desires is that we love one another, that we accept one another, that we encourage one another, and that we exhort one another.